Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, an artist, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
I'm good, Cindy, and how are you?
Everything's good. Now, when is your art show in the restaurant in Long Beach?
It is, well, the installation is going to be for the full month of June. So I'm going to have times and dates and everything of when I'm actually going to be down there. Probably mid-May, we're going to go in for a meeting. Then on June 1st, I'm installing everything, and then it'll be there until June 30th. So June 30th, everything comes down. And that's that. So, yeah. And probably on or about the second week of June, we're going to have like a little like reception there where I'm just going to kind of hang out and invite like my friends and the people that, you know, personally want to see me down there. And yeah, and that's it. So I'm going to see if Lisa's band can throw an acoustic set together so that we'll have some like live music and, you know, everybody can order food and, you know, it'll be all nice.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. So don't forget, when you get all the details, to let us all know,
yes,
okay? Because we would
yes,
love that, okay? Someone messaged me and said, when is Nicole's show? And I go, I don't know
exactly. Oh, I'll let
exactly.
you guys know. So.
Wow, that'll be wonderful. So we do have a lot of listeners tonight, which is always good. We're getting near the warmer weather, which is delightful, isn't it? Like now, like,
oh yeah.
You'll be riding your bike now. You won't be on your snowboard, but that's okay. You got a new toy for the spring.
I have my warm weather toy waiting for me.
Wow. Well, that's so exciting and fun. And today was a beautiful day, so I hope people got to enjoy a little bit of it and get some air. And, We didn't screen anybody yet. We do have a couple of people who know the drill, but can you explain to people, if you want to talk to us, what must you do?
Yes, ma'am, I will. So if you would like to speak to Cindy or I, please press the number 1 so that we get the alert that you would like us to pick up your call. As normal, I do not know who the first caller is. We always just go by whoever's been holding in line the longest, and we pray that they're our brand of crazy. For everybody else, when you hear me identify you by the last 4 digits of your number, that means that I'm picking you up. So please answer me when I say that, so that this way we could all remain on the same page there. So, Cindy, are you ready to kick things off and get started with the person that's been holding the longest?
I sure am.
All right. So the first person that's been holding the longest, the last 4 digits of your phone number are 0054. So let's see who's waiting for us there. Hello, 0054.
Hi, how are you guys, girls?
Good, and what's your name?
Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. So what's happening in
your
world today? We're good. How about you?
Good. I called you guys a couple weeks ago with my whole fiance nightmare of, you know, the whole taking a break type of thing. And he actually did call. You said that he was probably going to call. He called actually the Monday after I called you.
Okay, good.
But the weird part is that, you know, I was super upset. I was thrown off. And, you know, we both agreed that, you know, we had to talk when he had called me that day, so a couple days later. But I feel like we kind of, like, didn't talk. So it's, like 2.5-3 weeks passed by without talking, you know, thinking about a million things, the whole going through the, you know, everything that goes on, what we've done and the way things are. And it's like, you know, now we've been back to kind of doing the same thing without any really whatever, you know, any, like, clarification.
Okay,
and,
so are you back seeing each other?
Yes. So we've been kind of, it kind of like almost in a way after like that first day or so, went back to kind of the way things were.
Right. But without any explanation as to what was this timeout all about, you know, like.
Yes. And, you know, I wanted to call you, you know, to see, obviously to hear your thoughts, because you guys were super, super helpful when I called that night because I was pretty much a mess.
And that's what we're here for, because you're not supposed to be a super mess without somebody you can call in here, like some sanity. It's a little hard for you because, you know, you're wondering, is he going to do this again? Like, if you don't talk about this, then am I going to expect this again? And, you know, I learned about ghosting like 40 years ago before there was a word ghosting. Okay. And I had a boyfriend who would pull this crap, you know, just kind of disappear or come back. Disappear, and it was really upsetting to me. It's why I'm such a not a favor of ghosting, because it would devastate me during those times. And, you know, in a 3-year period, he did it quite a number of times. And, you know, 5 years later, when I was pregnant with my daughter, I ran into one of his friends who said, you know, you really devastated him by breaking up with him. And I said, did you know what he did to me for 3 years, like disappearing, coming back and going? And he said, I didn't know that, but I had dinner with him and his current girlfriend, and she was crying because he had just pulled that on her. Okay, so imagine, he's still doing it. Well, he contacted me about a year ago, wanted to talk to me. And I said, okay, you know, well, you can talk to me. And lo and behold, he ghosted me and never talked to me. So,
oh, my goodness, still?
So, yeah, so some people just ghost 40 years later still. You know, I mean, I could care less, but the point is you don't want to have this where he can come and go and we're not going to talk about it. I could see there's a little bit of depression in his cards. I don't know if you realize he's depressed a little bit. And, you know, there are some things happening inside of him that he needs to talk about. But in his family, they never really talk about issues. But this is like the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is we broke up and now we're back together, but we never discussed it. And, you know, have you thought about bringing it up to him?
So because of the time, and, you know, you had also given me advice that night, you know, keep yourself busy, do this, do that. I had actually just had started going back to the gym from COVID because I didn't go this whole time. Because it's something that I always did, but with COVID, when they opened, I never went back. So because I needed my peace of mind, because that's the way I am, I actually had just joined a gym right before this happened. So that was a bonus for me because that's something that I enjoy and, you know, my time. So when he came over, his mother, I had told you his mother was still here. Actually, she left yesterday. And I think that was a lot of his stress. And I actually started to see some more things when we were all together since our conversation on the phone a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I actually asked him in a nice way, you know, does your mom, like, stress you out? Because, you know, there's always so much to do when she comes here. And he kind of said no, but I kind of saw the tension and stuff. Like, not always in a negative way, but she is a little bit difficult. I mean, I know, obviously, they have a good relationship, but it is a little bit difficult, and it's because she doesn't live here.
She's a pain in the ass from what Spirit has said, okay? She's a pain in the ass, okay? And he's a good son. And, you know, he's almost in denial of how much stress she puts him on. It's like he's been it in his whole life. And men are sometimes not able to see their mother's manipulations and things. I mean, he's a nice guy, okay? And she did stress him out more than he, you know, wanted to admit. But, you know, I think you're going to have the discussion, like, if things aren't going right between us, this, like, we break up and then, you know, a couple of weeks later come back, isn't going to work. We're going to have to figure out how we talk, because it gets upsetting if this, you know, if this is a pattern that he's going to do with you, you know, like.
Yeah, and I actually
feel like
if something
comes up, then, you know, we take a time out. And
right.
you know, I don't, you know, his mother spoke a different language, you said, so you don't really have that much of, you know, be able to communicate with her.
Of course, but, I'm sure there's things that fell in between, too, even when they were translating.
Right, and, you know, it's kind of what he learned in his family. Don't talk about what matters. So, I mean, I'm glad, I didn't see that it was over between the two of you when you called in, okay? I just knew you got to just give him his space. Don't chase him, because if you chase him, he's going to run. Okay, so you were a smart girl and listened and kept yourself busy, and instead of self-destructing, sitting there eating junk food and, you know, getting drunk, you went to the gym and made yourself better. That was good. But now it's, you know, maybe after you make love, you can kind of say, look, we need to talk about it. You know, like, be gentle. Don't be mad. But, you know, we need to be able to communicate so we don't go through that again.
But the other thing, Cindy, is that he keeps bringing up, and even since the time that we got, you know, back together, he keeps bringing up the past and the things that weren't good, which I understand we need to grow from things, but I almost feel like it's like he's throwing it in my face.
Right. And then, you know, you need to address one issue at a time. Like, for an instance, what is the thing that he's throwing in your face? What's the thing, you know?
Like, you said the last time that it happened that it wasn't going to happen again, and you know, you really need to think about, you know, what you did and how you're going to fix it. But here's the thing. Once again, I don't really know how to fix these particular things because these are the things that I'm trying to do for myself. So he doesn't understand. I don't know how to do it. So I told him, can you please communicate with me and tell me when you see, like, you know, me, like, being quiet after we kind of get into school or whatever so I communicate better. But what I'm noticing is that he's not communicating so well. So, like, that's kind of, like, all falling apart.
Right. I mean, you know, you guys don't need deep psychological counseling, okay? You need some behavior modification, okay? Which is, like, say what you mean what you say, don't be mean about it. Like, let's talk. Let's not just go in our separate corners, like, you know, and have this separate fight. You know, you might need to start talking first. I mean, normally people have to relive their parents' marriage and the way their parents argued and fought. What was your parents' arguing style like?
My father gave the silent treatment to everybody, so we never even knew.
Okay, so sometimes you're doing that too.
Like, yeah, I know, but that's what I'm trying to work on now that I've realized. I didn't
okay,
realize
now that you become your father, became your father, can you forgive your dad? Not his actions, but can you forgive him a little bit? Because we become what we judge, okay? And all of a sudden, we become our parents when we don't want to, okay? So silent treatment is kind of a passive-aggressive act, okay?
Yes,
because you're not screaming, but I think it's louder than a scream, okay?
Right.
Because, you know, you're an empath, and you could feel energies. And when you could feel energies, you could tell when someone's silent is they're just relaxing and they're quiet. And you could tell when someone's silence is screaming and filled with negative energy. So, you know, you're feeling that. And you might want to talk about we have to work on not doing this grudge holding or being silent. You know, learning how to speak up and mention what you need. Did he ever tell you about his parents fighting or how they
no.
their style?
No.
Okay. He's never mentioned it.
Not once, no.
Okay, I mean, you know, it's usually somehow when you're living with a person or you have an intimate relationship, it's just not you and him. It's his mom, his dad, you're a mom, you're a dad. God forbid their step-parents, it even gets more confusing who's in the room at one time with you guys. But most fights are kind of running an old tape from our childhood. And you can always tell when that happens because you don't understand how you've gotten from A to Z. Like, sometimes, like, what were we fighting about? Like, you know, a day later. You can't even remember, you know, like, how did this happen? So you might want to calmly, and it's usually good after you've made love and you had a good time to kind of say, you know, we really need to talk about how we both go in our separate corners and, you know, how we need to learn how to communicate. And what the both of you have sort of an attack mode at each other.
Definitely.
And, okay, and I'm not saying that's just you. This is everybody. You know, everybody has their learned behaviors because marriage was pretty much an institution of arranged marriages where people didn't love each other. They learned to be ugly to each other because there was no way out but death. So kind of phrasing it so it doesn't sound like you're attacking. Like the way you said, he said, you do this, that sounded pretty attacking to me. And if someone says something in an attacking way, you want to go on the defense. You know, you can't help it. It's like human nature. So it's more learning to say it the way you might say to a friend. We don't, like, attack our friends. So learn to say things to him the way you would say to your best friend. You know, see if you can't change that. And it seems, you know, he is putting a lot of blame on you and not taking any responsibility for his actions. And, you know, he's a nice guy, and I'm not saying you shouldn't work on this because he looks like he's got a lot of wonderful traits. But I'm seeing that he didn't take any responsibility for what happened. Like, he turned on you. Okay.
And then when I actually said something, he said to me that I was trying to blame him and I wasn't even doing that.
Right. I mean, because it looks like it's 50-50 here. You're wrong, he's wrong. You know, sometimes as a relationship expert, I have to tell a couple, you're both wrong, okay? Neither one of you are right. And that looks like in this instance, except, you know, he's got this thing where he won't own his anger. And it looks to me he's got more anger issues with his mother than he'd like to admit, okay? And sometimes when you say something, he almost is rebelling against his mother. Or, you know, things like that. So just a little different style of fighting. Like if he starts to say, but, you know, you did this, you're going to say, okay, I hear what you're saying. I appreciate you for telling me, but I think it's happened more like this, like righteous anger. Like hear the way he says it and don't always jump to be on the defense, okay, because he's learned a lot of dysfunctional behaviors. And I think it's very important to our listeners to understand we all do this. In transactional analysis, they call throwing a hook. When he says, well, I think you did that, he just threw a hook at you, okay? He threw a grenade at you, and he wants to fight. Maybe he's a little depressed. He feels like fighting, and you tend to throw the grenades back at him, and then you just keep throwing them back and forth. Somebody has to learn to answer the question straight. That's what they call it in transactional analysis. He might say, you did this and that, and you have to calmly say, okay, hear what you're saying, but how I felt is it went this way. Like, instead of getting defensive fighting back at him, you just answer what he says in a calm manner and stop the throwing of grenades back and forth. It's not deep psychological counseling. Just remember, answer the question straight or say it with a straight answer, not a loaded answer, because what you can do is then, you know, give a loaded answer back. Like, no, you did this, and that's loaded, okay? And then he has to come back with, but you did that. And all of a sudden, this blows up like a nuclear explosion. When if someone would just simply diffuse the situation, you know, and, you know, for instance, say you're asking someone, do you want dinner? And the person says, fuck you. Now you could say, fuck you back, asshole. Or you could say, well, I guess you're not hungry. I was going to make dinner. You don't need to plug in to someone who's angry. Sometimes they had a hard day at work. Sometimes they had a fight with their mother or somebody else. And all of a sudden, they're looking to have a fight. It looks to me like the pattern of his family was a lot of fighting, a lot of this loaded back and forth bickering, okay? And it's almost what he thinks is communication. You know, the two of you will work on having a better fighting style, but, you know, you can almost, if you bring it up to him, he may just get defensive. You need to change the way you're responding to the grenades he throws at you.
And will eventually, if I can do that, will eventually, like, things, like,
it looks very promising
because
he's going to fight with you when you calmly answer something. Okay, if he throws another grenade, then you're going to say, I think you're not in a very good mood right now, and so let's just take a time out for a few minutes and we'll talk in a little while, okay? Like, you have to stop it before it gets ugly. And what happens, it can get ugly. It's like, you know, with texting, I had an experience when someone was texting me very nasty, and it was a client that I barely knew, and I didn't realize at 11 o'clock in the morning this woman was drunk, okay? And I'm just trying to answer everything calmly and nicely. And this went on for like 20 hours before I blocked her. And by like an hour into it, 2 hours, I wanted to say nasty things back. You know what I mean? It's like you can build on this nastiness. So you don't want to have that, because always remember that your soulmate is a pajama party with your best friend. okay? And don't talk to him in a way you wouldn't talk to your best friend. Don't talk to him in a way you wouldn't talk to a stranger. You know, talk to him calmly and see if you can do the little bit of behavior modification. And this thing about the elephant in the room that we don't talk about something that happened is not good, okay?
Right.
Because it only means it's going to happen again. So I wouldn't bring it up until you feel the right time with it. And, you know, he loves you. There's not a question of him loving you or not loving you. He's also, you know, been very brainwashed in his upbringing to honor his mother and never say anything bad about a family member. And, you know, sometimes he, you know, there's some issues he has not really dealt with. And, you know, that's something that comes up in the way he's behaving. So try the little bits of behavior modification that we said. Say what you mean what you say. Don't be mean about it. Answer questions straight. If he keeps throwing grenades, you don't play the game. You just say, okay, look, I'm not in the mood for a fight right now, and I think you are, so I'm just going to walk away. And we'll talk in a little bit. I love you, but this is not working for me. And when you have to tell him things, do righteous anger, which is I love you, but when you say A, B, C, D to me, it upsets me, it hurts me. Half the time when we're mad, we're not really mad, we're hurt. So everything comes out as anger rather than he hurt your feelings, you know, and try to stop being so defensive all the time. Also, you know, meditate on the fact that you're responding the way your father responded. And, you know, you don't want to become that. And, you know, this happens in relationships. We have to come up with a constructive fighting style, okay? You know, I've never had a fight with TJ and, like, my husband in 13 years that I've known him. Oh, it could go to a fight. But he just smiles, gives me a kiss, asks me, what can I do to help you? Because he knows I must be upset. Or he laughs. I mean, he finds it amusing. And then, you know, he's so funny. How can you continue to fight? So sometimes a sense of humor, saying it a little lighter, sometimes looking at the person stressed out, do they need help? But try to step outside of that blind, what they call in transactional analysis, running an old tape. You know we're running an old tape from our childhood, a fight that our parents had, because we're blinded. And we can't even see the person anymore. We can't even respond other than some automatic response that, you know, is usually awful. So be conscious that you have an unconscious style of fighting with him. Okay?
Okay.
And if you find it's really getting out of hand, you know, so let's talk in a little bit. You know, I had no doubt he would be back in your life because there was nothing indicating that either one of you did anything to blow this relationship up. But you never want to be in a position where every 6 months you have a fight and then you're broken up for 3 weeks. So that is really unhealthy. Okay.
Absolutely.
I mean, some people maybe could like that and can deal with it. I personally couldn't.
I wouldn't be able to deal with that.
You won't be able to deal with it. So that's kind of something in have a talk that, you know, we don't just break up when somebody does or says something you don't like. You know, because what it does is that's punishment to you. And what it's going to be is if you don't agree with what he does, and I'm going to, and he's even worse than your father was, because your father maybe stayed in the house and didn't talk, but this man's like leaves you and doesn't talk. Like that's even worse. But that's a way of controlling people, of letting them know if you don't do what I want, you're going to have 3 weeks of hell. Okay? And that is never going to be, you know, acceptable. Because if they do it like 8 times, 10 times, what happens is you're the one who will leave him. That's what happened with the guy that I talked about. Did it, you know, maybe three, you know, one too many times, and it wasn't going to happen anymore. I wasn't going to live a life with someone like that and have it. So call in again and let us know what happens when you practice some of this behavior modification. Okay, and you have to kind of step outside of a fight with a person. So you're sort of in it but above it and watching it and seeing the interaction. So you could see the patterns of the way you're fighting. Okay?
So is it like kill them with kindness type of thing, Cindy?
Yeah, it's kind of being kind. It's kind of,
wording things in another way type of thing.
In a kind way and in a funny way. They can say, oh, here we go again. Okay. You know, the War of the Roses. Who's going to throw the first punch? Like, kind of like
talking about it. Yeah, kind of like make light of it at the same time. But
make light of it and And, you know, sometimes when he's attacking you, don't take it as an attack because he hasn't learned a better way of stating what he feels. And then just say, okay, I heard what you said. I will try to do ABC different. I wish you had worded it kinder. You know what I mean? Like, don't get so upset by him with it. Like, just step outside because basically you love each other and what you want is to keep this relationship, okay? And
because there
again,
is a lot of good things. There really is a lot of good things, but this
I see
is,
that.
You know,
I see that. But again, if you're going to have these petty fights all the time, you know, first of all, people work too hard to have petty fights all the time, okay? They're actually very draining, okay? You know, you feel exhausted from these things. And, you know, so see if you can't work on it. You know, maybe get him to open up about what were his parents like when he was growing up? How did they communicate? You know,
okay, I'll try to see if I can work it in.
And what's the story with his father?
His father passed away.
Okay, and does he talk about him with that?
He does talk about his dad, and he has talked about things, but nothing about his dad and his mom and, like, specific things of growing up. Just, you know, the work that he did, and he brings up stories of, like, you know, he always had cars and, like, a couple of
things. I mean,
his
dad is a nice guy from the other side, okay? He's a nice man. You know, according to him, the mother was a pain in the ass, okay? Okay, I mean, he's the one who told me she's a pain in the ass, okay? So notice the good one died first, okay, the more easygoing one. And, you know, now his son is stuck with her, okay, and she's a very sweet manipulator at times. That's the problem.
Right.
So he doesn't always see through it. So see if you can't get a little dialogue going and, you know, call in again and let us know what you think and feel, okay? And
okay, Cindy, thank you. I'm going to try this, hopefully.
Yep, try it. I mean, it works. I mean, deep psychological counseling is a waste of time for most people because it's not really what it is. It's all patterns of stupid behavior. I mean, it's not, you know, you don't have to dig that deep to figure out, oh, boy, I'm fighting like my father. You saw it for yourself when I said it, and you saw it. Like, oh, my God, I'm being my dad. Like, you know, we don't need to figure out where the root of that behavior came. We just don't want to keep doing it. And again,
but I don't think I knew years ago. I just figured it out like fairly recently, honestly.
Oh, that's because you're being guided. Okay, we can't even see the patterns that are so obvious. Okay, but once they're pointed out, we go, oh my God. Okay, like my client I spoke to yesterday has a marriage in which it's not a terrible marriage, but it was never a great love affair, and they don't do much together. And she's pretty unhappy. And her mother, who passed away, came through to say, well, you have my marriage. And she went, what? I said, well, your mother said you have my marriage. She goes, oh, my God, my mother always said it wasn't a great love affair with my father. She wasn't happy. And all the things that she told me, she said, oh, my God, my mother told me the same thing. And she never saw that she had her mother's marriage. Okay? Like so obvious, and yet she didn't see it. Until I pointed out the pattern. So sometimes we can't see the patterns of our behavior that once they're brought forth, it's like, wow. So see if more of your fighting style isn't so. Sometimes we're our mothers, sometimes we're our fathers. That's the funny part about it. Okay, it switches. We don't always fight like the way our father did. We sometimes fight the way our mothers did. Okay, so we switch back and forth with that. So with this little, like, revealing to you, and I'm sure a lot of our clients have a similar fighting style and things they need to learn, but call in again in the next few weeks after you've practiced some behavior modification and let us know of how it's going.
Okay, Cindy, I definitely will. I definitely appreciate it. Thank you, Nicole and Cindy, and you guys have a great night, and I will be talking to you guys soon.
Okay, good night for now. Bye.
Bye, Cindy. Okay. Bye, Nicole.
Bye.
Bye, honey.
I spent a little time on her because I don't think her problem is very different from a lot of people's problems. I think
definitely.
And even at work, we fight like people fight like they're fighting with their sisters and their brothers at work. So
that's
like,
funny that you just said that because I'm like right now I'm in the middle of a fight with my sister-in-law, so it's perfect.
Can you see what I'm talking about? So
yes, I do.
Maybe you need to incorporate some of the things we just talked about. You know, I love you, but when you're doing this ABCD, you know, it makes me crazy, and then I fight unfair and you fight unfair, but can we get back to, you know, the love, you know?
I didn't do that at all.
I know that. You've been a student of Grant Me a Higher Love for a very long time. And that's how we sometimes slip back into patterns. It's funny because certain people will hook us back into the dysfunctional ways of behaving, like really quick too, you know?
Yes,
and
absolutely she is.
You know, what are you going to say to your sister-in-law? Can you tell us, Nicole?
Well, I kind of already said it while you were on the other call. I told her that she was being dramatic.
Okay. Now, that was judging her, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, but she's on my last damn nerve is the problem.
Okay.
Because she's been stirring the pot and stirring the pot. She's been starting fights with everybody in the family. My personal opinion, she needs to change her damn meds. You know, because she's been taking, you know, antidepressants for years now, but she's not under the care of a psychiatrist. She just keeps refilling the damn prescriptions and then finding somebody else to refill it for her without doing the work. So she just started with my wife. She started with my mother-in-law. She started with Nanny. She started with her other sister, you know, going on and on and on. And like, finally, I'm at my breaking point with her right now. So she's talking about kicking. And you want to know what this fight is about, Cindy? It is the most ridiculous fucking thing. 2 years ago, when she
we're going back 2 years, huh? Pre-COVID, okay.
When she was moving, okay? When she was moving, she had these foldable sports chairs, okay? You know, like the chairs that they collapse and then they go into the sleeve, okay?
Sure.
She had two of them that she was getting rid of, and she said, do you guys have any use for these? Because I'm going to get rid of them. And Lisa said, no, we definitely have a use for them. We'll take them. So we took them, and we've had them now for 2 years. This past weekend, she said, I have to go out and get foldable chairs because when Jaden plays in the front yard, I have no place to sit. And Lisa said, well, you gave us two chairs a couple years ago, and really we only need one of them. I could always sit on the curb when Nicole works on the motorcycles, so I'll give you one back. Now she wants the other chair back out of my storage unit. She goes, you can just go buy new chairs. I need that other chair back. No, I'm not giving you the fucking chair. Go buy your own fucking chair. On principle, I'm not giving her that fucking chair. I will tear that chair to shreds before I give her that fucking chair. I will give her that chair with no material on it rather than give that back to her.
Well, it's kind of like, it's not about the chair. It's not about the chair for her. You know that. It's kind of about now, you know, like the power of it. And again, that's something you let the real.
Excuse me, it's kicking her while she... Think about why I gave you those chairs. You're kicking me when I'm down. Are you fucking serious about the fucking $25 chair? No. Okay. Like she's like, and she's like, I feel like I said, she's rubbing everybody the wrong way. Meanwhile, I just spent $75 on clothes for her son the other day, just because. Okay, my mother watches her son free of charge 4 days a week so to save her money so she doesn't have to pay for child care, okay? She comes here and does her fucking laundry in my damn house whenever she doesn't have access to a friggin' laundry. And when she doesn't want to go out and pay for coffee, she stops by here unannounced and makes me fill up her friggin' coffee shit and uses all my damn creamer, makes me feed the baby, and then runs out to wherever else she is. And she wants a $25 chair from me? Fuck that. Uh-uh. She's not getting the chair.
Well, let me see. Is there any of our callers here that know us that we could ask what they would say about this? No, not really.
No,
okay.
Well, actually, you know what? Let everybody stew and marinate on that because I do have a caller that I've queued up next, okay? And she's in a limited time frame right now because she is getting picked up. So I definitely want to get to see her, to do her call. And then if you guys have got any comments on my chair analysis here, we'll have time in the last 5 minutes of the show to go over that. So,
okay,
yeah.
I want to hear someone else's opinion on this. Okay,
oh,
but
yeah.
Now
so
you know why it's been so long
diet.
Talking about how people don't fight productively. Okay, now we have
no,
Diane.
No, I'm telling you right now, I am not being productive. I am being obstinate,
okay.
And I'm not going to budge. I'm just saying this right out loud, okay, because when she went off on me the other day, okay? I turned the blind eye and I said, is there something else bothering you? Because what your reaction is and what the situation is are really not in line. Is there something else bothering you? And I fucking coddled her, okay? And you know what? This is the behavior that I get in return? Nope. Done. Anyway, we're going to talk to
Diane. Well, let's get
Diane.
Now, where is Diane calling from?
Diane is calling us from Nebraska, and she's called us before, Cindy, and the last time she called in, she called to let us know that, you know, she met somebody and that she had gotten engaged, and she was very, very happy. Well, unfortunately, Diane is going through a little bit of grief right now because in the past week, the love of her life, her fiancé, has passed away. And
now
Diana's got, yes, and right now Diana's got a lot of things hanging on her aside from her grief. You know, they're waiting on autopsy results still. So, you know, they're waiting on a whole bunch of things surrounding this. But Diane also has some disabilities, and right now where she's going to live is a major, major issue for her because she can't afford where she, you know, where the fiance was, and she can't stay where she's at for much longer. So it's a very, very big concern for her on top of her grief. So Diane really needs to see what you see as far as her getting stable, you know, in the immediate future. So here we go out to Diane in Nebraska. Hello, Diane. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Oh, boy, Diane, I didn't expect that one. Okay, like, I remember who you are. I remember how happy you were with him. And, of course, the card I got was that he, at the you know, end of his life, he, you were everything he ever wanted. You know, you were the love of his life.
Yeah, he was the same for me.
I mean, he said you were the love of my life. From what I could tell, this is a very sudden death, correct? Very sudden?
Yes. Yes.
And today, you know, it looks like he had some sort of heart attack or heart failure, but they have no idea from what?
Not yet. Not yet. We won't get the autopsy report for about 6 weeks.
Okay.
But there is a family member, retired doctor in the family, so he's asked to look at it, so we'll have some other eyes on it.
Okay. And he's, you know, wishes he were still here, I will tell you that much, okay? It's not always easy to talk to people recently dead. They haven't fully learned how to communicate, but, you know, the alignment of cards that I got is very telling about him. I got the husband card, which he'd wish he married you. I got the morning card. He's going to teach you how to communicate to him, okay? Have you gotten any signs or messages from him yet?
Yeah, I did kind of feel he was around me at lunch today. His sisters have come to help kind of settle things, and they took me to lunch, and I was telling them about a book I was writing on just waking up your intuition, utilizing it, and I could feel him sitting to my right, and the words weren't clear yet, but I could, when I said something, I could tell he liked it because I could see him giving me a thumbs up.
Yeah, he's very pleased with it, and again, you can feel him energetically. He was at lunch with you and his sisters. He's permitted down on Earth 100 hours a month right now. They trust him. He won't manifest. He won't try to scare you, okay? But he was happy to be there. You know,
he won't scare me. I'd like to have him around me the rest of my life if he can do that or if he wants to do that.
For sure, for sure. He'll be there helping you write your book. You know, did you know him to abuse any drugs at all?
Not that I know of, not in my lifetime, but we didn't both meet each other until we were both over 50, so we met later. He might have had an issue earlier, but I don't know one way or another.
Because it seems more like he had some sort of a heart attack, because the card I got is, I don't know if you're familiar with it, Rider Waite deck, but it's the Three of Swords with swords through a heart, and that's usually, you know, a heart attack of some sort that could have ended up being stroke. Later
he
on.
He did have a heart attack when he went through. He married a woman that had no intention of staying with him, but this time he had a lot of money. He had one of those dot-com companies and was very wealthy. And so that literally broke his heart. And so he did have a heart attack once about, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago.
Because it looks to me like a heart attack, okay?
Okay.
And, you know, and when you have a heart attack when you're fairly young, because he was young when he had that heart attack, you know, it does damage to the heart. And, you know, sometimes stress can contribute to it. But he seemed to be very happy at the end of his life, from what he's saying to me. Okay. Was he supposed to be taking any meds for this heart? Was he on high blood pressure meds or anything?
No, not anything for high blood pressure. He had diabetes, and so he was taking some medicine for that.
Because that's what I was asking. Did you know him to use drugs or not take his meds? Because it looks like, you know, it's a combination of probably the diabetes and the heart disease, you know, here. And I'm not sure he was taking his meds properly because, you know, or taking his drugs properly. So that looks like it may have been a contributor. Because he did say drugs, but I didn't think it was like illegal drugs the way he was saying it. It seems more like he didn't take his meds properly.
Okay.
You know, did you know him to be taking his diabetes meds and everything? Were you...
Well, I would ask him about it regularly because I would not see him give himself insulin. I didn't know what pills he had. Like, I have diabetes as well, but I can't afford the insulin, so I'd been taking pills. But that had been helping keep it in control, and plus I watch my carbs. So, you know, like the last time I was tested, I was doing well.
You know, he didn't always watch it. He didn't always watch his carbs. Do you know that?
Didn't watch his, carbs?
Carbs,
yes,
yeah.
I did.
His sugar, he didn't know his much, but he ate, okay?
Right.
So it looks more like that's the, you know, not watching what you're eating when you have diabetes, not being, you know, not on purpose not doing your meds, but just not doing them properly or, you know, it's kind of a male thing oftentimes not to be as conscientious as she should be. So
yeah, I was going to say, men don't think they're ever going to die.
Right, and, you know, he did not want to die. I will tell you right now, this man did not want to die. He had every reason to want to live. He's sorry that, you know, whatever he, you know, that he could have done some things to perhaps better take care of himself. But what I can tell, it was pretty close to his due date to die. So I don't think much would have been altered. Maybe he would have died in a different way. I don't know, a car crash or COVID or something, but it seems very close to his due date to die. You know, so he's pretty peaceful about that. Normally, if someone's contributed to their own death, which meant they didn't take care of themselves properly, they're usually much more agitated. They're very agitated when you talk to them when they first die. He's not agitated. Mm-hmm. He's actually in acceptance, which means, like, say you thought, oh my God, I should have been taking my diabetes meds. I should have done this and that. And then you cross over and they tell you, well, it was your due date to die. It's a little sense of relief that you didn't kill yourself inadvertently, okay? So he's a little more peaceful than a lot of sudden deaths are, okay, in that vein. Again, he wished he had married you. That would have
been
him.
Same here. I wouldn't be in the problem I'm in now.
If you were married, you could get his Social Security and everything eventually.
Exactly.
That's why he's not resting in peace, because of the finances, okay?
Okay.
You know, he feels like, you know, we should have gotten married. Now, who's in control of his bank accounts and things?
Well, I'm not sure. We are looking, and if he can give any insight on this, that would be great. We don't know the name of his attorney that drew his will, and we've not been able to find a will, copy of his will in his office. And that will say who the executor is of his estate. I put a word out with my attorney and who handles probate, and he's on some type of listserv in the area where
it looks like
Brian
you're
had.
Okay, it looks like you're going to find it.
Okay.
Yeah, within like a week or two. Okay.
Okay.
You know, he wants you to, of course, you know, get whatever money he has. And, you know, in terms of where you're going to live now, do you have to get out of your place by a certain time? Is there a lease? Is there?
I will have to, because my mother, well, anytime I get some money from either Brian or if my mother's house, it sounds like it may be sold. My mother died just before Christmas, and if her house is sold and I have extra money coming in, I get help from housing now, and I can't afford to double my rent, even if I have a little bit more money coming in. I really need to start over, because the place here, I don't know if they're discriminating against me because I'm disabled or what, but I've had a broken refrigerator for a year and was told they couldn't replace it because of COVID-19. I've had mice infestation for a year, which I reported right away, and they won't do anything to fix that.
Oh, so it's a blessing you're getting out of there, by the way. Okay.
Oh,
it's
definitely. I see that. I don't have the money to get out into a new place is my issue right now.
Well, your mom is happy to say the house will sell, okay? And, you know, that will give you some money, okay? You know, you're mourning for your mom. You're mourning for Brian. There's a lot on your plate right now. You know, with COVID-19, are they allowed to evict you? Because I know in New York you're not allowed to evict people to August 31st here. Have you looked at COVID eviction?
No, it's not a COVID eviction. It's a situation where since I reported the mice and they did nothing about it, I reported it to Housing Authority, and the manager here, who's kind of a bully, really, not just to me, but in general, she did an inspection, and my disabilities have been so bad. The apartment looked like crap. It was very bad. She took a lot of pictures, and she put up a note saying, it's got to be reinspected, and if it doesn't pass, I have to be out in 14 days, and there's no way I could physically get everything out in 14 days.
Yeah, well, she's like definitely trying to bully you at this point. Now, do you have somewhere you could go temporarily?
No, that's what I was wondering, if you saw anything like that.
Well, I don't think she's going to be able to evict you if you have nowhere to go or get you out of there. You have to fight this again. I would see if there isn't. I would Google, you're in Nebraska, is that where you are?
Yes.
I would Google in Nebraska if there's a state law that they can't evict you because of COVID for any reason right now. In New York, you cannot evict anyone for any reason until August 31st.
Okay.
A lot of states have this in play. She's aware that you probably don't know about it, but I would check that out first. Okay?
I wasn't sure if that was every state or not.
In most states, it's not. You can't evict someone right now. Okay? And you can actually even, you know, have a paper thing at the court because of COVID, you know, there's no place for you to go right now. And, you know, even if you don't pay your rent, you haven't paid for a year, they can't get rid of you because of that. You know, this is terrible on you, but I do see, now who's in charge of selling your mom's house?
My brother was the executor of her estate.
Okay.
I think it's just about sold, if it isn't already, and I just don't know about it yet. But I have a feeling it's sold already.
It looks to me like it's sold. I think that's what your mom said. So why haven't you talking to your brother?
Well, we have been talking. I don't know. I didn't really trust him with it. I was the attorney, and my dad wanted me to be executor, but he died first. And then I think my brother talked my mom into switching it to him type of deal. So I don't know if I'm going to have to contact my attorney or not. We've divided everything up pretty easily so far. So I'm hoping we can finish it smoothly, dividing everything up.
Okay, good. And look, I just looked it up. Yes, the CDC issued an order halting residential evictions for non-payment of rent. If certain conditions, the COVID relief bill signed extends the CDC order through June 30th, 2021 in Nebraska. So I don't think they can evict you. I mean, you know, they can't evict if you don't pay rent. They can't evict if you don't pay rent, let alone evictions. So I think you just have to say, you're with COVID, they can't evict you to June 30th. Okay, look it up yourself.
Okay.
But, I mean, that will stall you at least to June 30th. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, she knows this law too, by the way. Okay. Now,
okay,
if people are not paying, but they can't evict you if you're paying. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is crazy. So, I mean, they can't evict you. If you stop paying, she can't evict you now. Okay. Like, so go look it up, you know, Google it, see it, because you want to stall at least until June 30th, because it looks like you need to call your brother. This is what your mom's saying. Your mom's kind of screaming, okay? Like, I don't know if your mom was a yeller, but she's kind of yelling from the other side.
She might. Okay. What is she yelling about?
She is yelling, I want you to call your brother and get your money, okay?
Okay.
So that by June 30th, you have money to go elsewhere, okay?
Okay.
And She thinks you should be able to get that money. And even you have to tell your brother the situation so that, you know, he can release some of the money to you at least. So you have money for that. But promise me.
Excuse me.
Yeah, and I see you going to a place that's a lot nicer than this one, okay?
Yeah, I think I might go to a different city or state for a year or two anyway for a change.
Mm-hmm. And he will help you, but Google all the information about Nebraska. And she should have known that they can't evict you in 14 days, by the way. I think she thinks you don't know that, okay? But I'm glad it's June 30th, and you know what? They may extend it. They just extended it in New York to August 30th. So they may still extend it again. But the point is, you know, Google it and then write a letter to the landlord stating that you cannot evict me till June 30th, Nebraska law, and let her, like, leave you alone. Okay?
Okay. Do you see everything working out between my brother and I settling the money so we won't have to get lawyers against each other? Like I said,
well, your mother doesn't trust your brother, and she should never have let him be the executor, okay? But... You know, I would...
That was his, her choice.
I know. And I
you
would...
did it.
Yep, she knows it. That's why she's yelling, because she didn't realize, or she should have realized. But it looks like you might have to get a lawyer. But let's start with righteous anger with your brother. Just tell him your situation. See if he won't release some money now. And, you know, first start with... Don't start with defensive with him. Start with, like, you know... I really, you know, I need this money, I'm being evicted or whatever. So see if we can appeal to his higher good before you have to go get a lawyer. I don't think he's going to, I mean, I think he's going to take more than his share, okay? He's going to make up some fake bills. You're probably getting ripped off somewhat. But I don't think it looks like he's going to, like, hold back your money because he knows he legally can't hold, you know, he can kind of maneuver so he gets more. But it'd be pretty hard for him not to give you your share. Now, if he sold the house really couldn't have been sold. How could he have sold it without your, because were you both, you know, in the will to own half the house? Is that what it was?
Well, I haven't seen a copy of the will. I don't know if he got her to change that too or not.
Yeah, well, I would tell him, you know, you might need a lawyer to the extent that there should have been a reading of the will. You should have seen the will. You know, they're not allowed to not show you what's in a will if you're in a will. Okay, that's legally not okay. And if he sold that house and it's half yours, that wasn't legal either because your name would have to be on the closing thing. So it looks to me like he's not above committing fraud, your brother.
Oh, I know that.
And that's why I think you might need to, you know, talk to your brother about, like, I would like to see a copy of the will. My lawyer wants to see a copy of the will. I would just say my lawyer wants to see one and get a will and see what you're dealing with in terms of the will.
Okay.
And again, you know, if both of you name was on there, he really couldn't have sold that without your name, you know, unless he forged it or something. And, you know, you're going to get, you know, your money. I don't think you're going to get all that you're supposed to, but he may have to, he really doesn't think you're going to sue him or to do any of that, but he maybe needs
would
to hear you have a lawyer and you need to see what the
will. Would it be worth my time to have my lawyer do an audit, ask for an audit of it, the estate?
Yeah, it would be worth it, okay? It would be worth it. Even if it just scares your brother to give you a big chunk of money now, okay? You know, like, here, take this money so you don't audit me, you know? Like, but I would say if you don't know if he sold it or not and you're part of that will, that's not right. So you don't sit there. Your mom's saying don't be sit there and be a victim of your landlord evicting you when she can't, of your brother ripping you off when he can't, like, be proactive here, and I know you're mourning for your mother and Brian is a lot on you, but use the anger of his death to fuel you to get what's yours, okay?
Okay, I will.
Call in again and let us know what happens. Brian just said he loves you, and he gave you a big kiss. You know, he's the one that made you call in today, just because even if you just know you have at least till June 30th, that'll take a little bit off of you, you know, in terms of... big worrying. Like,
sure.
Imagine if you get out of there in 2 weeks. Yeah, okay. You know, good luck on that one. You know, so call in again and let us know what's happening, please, because our listeners will want to know.
I will. I'll call in a couple months and give you an update. And, Nicole, I'd keep the chair, too. Piss off.
We love you, Diane. We love you.
I love you both, too. God bless
okay,
you
bye.
Both.
Bye, darling.
Bye.
Don't you love people acting like they can evict you when you can't right now? I just can't.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, what we're supposed to learn from this is Google stuff, please. And find out what the law is before you assume that.
Well, you know what? Because here's the thing, too, and people have got to remember when it comes to real estate, that in most states there was moratoriums. In some states they expired. In other states they were extended. You have to know what the law is in your state and whether or not there's a moratorium on evictions. That's number one. Number two, what you have to remember is that a moratorium on an eviction only means that the landlord can't kick you out, okay? It means that
right.
they cannot start the eviction process. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to owe them the money when the moratorium is lifted. It just means that they can't kick you out, okay? So if you've got, let's say, just for easy numbers, a six-month moratorium, and you decide not to pay your rent for 6 months, and you don't put anything towards the rent for 6 months, well, guess what happens? Then when the moratorium is lifted 6 months later, you've got two choices. You are in violation for not paying your lease. You could either pay the 6 months, you could either work out a payment plan, or the landlord could evict you just 6 months later, you know? And in most states, that eviction will probably take about a year. And in some state, you know, in some states like New York and Texas that are highly populated, it'll likely be a lot longer than a year. So technically, yeah, you can squat for a year. It doesn't mean that legally you can do that, or rather you are allowed to do that. It's simply something that you can do, you know. So you got to find out what the law states and get everything on your side, because 9 out of 10 times the law is on the tenant's side, okay? So there are many different things that you can cite where you can get a longer stay in any space while not paying rent. There are many, many states that are very, very tenant-centric when it comes to those things. I mean, there have been cases where people weren't even living in a space, okay, where there's been a vacant house, people just broke into the house, changed the locks, turned on the electric, turned on the cable, and it took the owner of the home years to get those people out, you know, so it's You have to educate yourself. You got to know what exactly the law, you know, states and how that law is on your side and how you could use it to your advantage. You know, I mean, that's really the best thing that anybody can do. And you know what? Most of the time, you could even go to a real estate attorney and you can get a free consultation and have them answer some questions for you. And it'll cost you absolutely nothing, because the way that real estate attorneys work is that if they feel that you have a good case, they'll let the landlord pay them in kind, you know, so they won't even ask you for any money or any retainer or anything. You can do things like that. So just keep those things in mind, people.
Right, and that's important information. Now, I think we're going to run out, and we won't have time for Claudia. They're going to cut us off. So can Claudia call us next week, and we'll get her in first, you know, first thing next week, because I don't want to start with her and they cut us off. In 46.
Yep, no, we only have about a minute and 36 seconds left anyway.
Right. You know, mine says 40. Mine sort of started freezing now. So that's usually a sign you're going to knock me off when the time
it's
left.
It's okay. We've got about a minute and 20 seconds left. And, you know, yours is frozen, and I don't even see Claudia in the queue anymore. So.
Okay.
So we're both seeing
all right.
two different things.
So we'll speak to her next week. You know, they were two very important calls today. And I think
yep.
that, you know, Diane really needed to hear what you had to say, even about the more than I knew about it. All I know is all I was looking at is they can't really evict, but I'm glad you explained that. And again, yeah, it's not, you know, I don't think she intends not to pay, but whatever it is,
no,
they
no,
can't.
No, no. Listen, and you know what? And the most important thing, too, is that if it does get sticky, even if you can't pay full rent, put something towards the rent. Send them something anyway with a letter stating that due to COVID, due to this, due to that, you are unable to pay the full amount. However, you would like this applied to the balance, because then they can't make the argument that your intention was to stiff them and not pay, because now you've got proof. You have in the form of your cash checks and in the form of the letters that they received, showing that pay, but were unable to do so, and then you were unable to work it out with the landlord. The landlord wouldn't work it out with you. And like I said, because most in the legal system, most of these people are very, very tenant-centric. That's all you really need is to say, oh, you know, and what do you mean? Like, you know, just in the middle of a pandemic or at the tail end of a pandemic, you couldn't pay your rent and you had the audacity to pay $1,000 instead of $2,000. Well, guess what? The law is going to say, well, listen, why didn't you work something out with her to take the lesser amount and tack it on, you know, at the end of the lease? People do that all the time. You know, there's very, very constructive and good, easy ways that you could get around that. You know, most frequently what people will do is they'll work it out with the landlord where you pay less rent now, but you tack on an additional 2 or 3 months to the lease that they weren't normally going to get payments from you. And then you put whatever the lesser amount is, whatever the difference is, on the tail end of those months. So you'll pay $1,000 for X amount of months, and then you'll have, let's say it's 4 months that you have to owe, you know, and you're only paying half of that. You'll take that $4,000 on the last of those months, and then what they'll do is they'll disperse it over the course of that time. You know, so you divide it up, and then you pay it over time, and you extend the lease. So it's a win for everybody that way.
Wow, exactly. So I'm glad we talked about that. And, okay, they're going to knock us off. So I'm going to say goodbye
yes, they will.
To everyone. And we'll all speak next week. Everybody have a great week. Bye.
All right. Bye, Cindy.
Bye.